interpreted it. They say that the Prophet of Islam, the Imams, were all Walis also. But the Walaya of the Prophet and the Imams is a manifestation of that divine Walaya. This is the key. The Prophet, the Imam, is the locus, is the place wherein divine Walaya is manifested. Allah is Wali, period. Okay? They are entities or beings wherein, in their heart, within them, divine Walaya is manifested. For example, if we have a mirror and we have a sweet in front of the mirror, okay? The reflection of the sweet, you can see it in the mirror. The image of the sweet will be in the mirror. Okay? Although it's not a very good example, but if you bear with me here. The mirror is that locus wherein that sweet, that real entity, is manifested. Its image is manifested and reflected in the mirror. The prophets and the imams are like the mirror, forgive the expression, where divine walaya is manifested within them. That's how they make these two walayats compatible. Now, the sweet and the sweet's image aren't the same thing in essence, but in another way, they are the same thing. But the image of the sweet is neither horizontal nor vertical to the real thing. Imam Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is a manifestation of Allah's walaya. That divine walaya is manifested within him. That's why in those traditions, whoever likes Ali alayhi salam likes Allah. If you like the image in the mirror, of course you like the real thing. But if you don't even perceive that image, of course you haven't perceived Allah. Is that clear? Do you understand? We have another tradition. Whoever dies without knowing the Imam of the time has died the death of one who was a mushrik. Why? Because they didn't perceive of that divine walaya. They didn't perceive the manifestation. How can they perceive of the real thing? If you don't get to know the Imam of your time, that image, that reflected manifestation, how are you going to get to know Allah? Those traditions would say, even if you pray 1,000 years, and you pray every day, every night, you fast every day, you do this, do that, but you don't have iman with respect to the wali, it's nothing. Because who have you been praying to? Allah? But how can you be acknowledging Allah when you've always denied the direct manifestation of Allah? You have to interpret these traditions in this way. So that was one very important point. Now, who is in charge of walaya today? It's very simple. His Eminency, the Savior of mankind, Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. But now we're in a period of occultation, ghaiba. It's over 1,200 years. Do we do nothing or do we have to do something? That's the first question. Do we just sit down and do nothing? Well, that goes against our fitrah, our rationality. We have to do something during this ghaibat. What is our duty today? What do we have to do? We have to bring about an Islamic government, a system of Islamic government, which tries to manifest the wilayat of the 12th Imam, which in turn is a manifestation of divine wilaya. We'll never be 100%. We may be 50%, 10%, 20%, but that's our duty today. If you don't accept this, then it's very difficult. What? How do you want to continue with your lives? And this is the concept behind Velayat-e-Faqih. ولاية فقيه is not a ma'soom. The aim is to bring about this system which tries its best to manifest the wilayat of the imam, which in turn is a manifestation of divine wilayat. Now, how much they'll succeed, that depends on different parameters. Now, I just want to mention a very few words, general words, on the concept of wilayat faqih, because this is so important, and it can be proved, the concept can be proved in three ways. Aqli, by one's rationality. Naqli, by the traditions. And kalami, via our theology, via our usul al-deen. Aqli, I ask you, is governance per se necessary or not? All peoples of all, you know, civilizations believe in this concept of governance. People in the Amazon, wherever they are, this is a fitri thing. No one can say governance is a bad thing. Then the next, if you say governance is not necessary, it'll just lead to anarchy. So we assume there has to be governance. Now, as Muslims, must that governance be religious in nature or not? Well, as Muslims, of course it has to be religious in nature. This is all rationality here. Next question. Okay, now we assume we want this religious governance is important. The person who leads it and heads it, must he be an expert in Islam or not? Well, of course he has to be an expert. You can't have an Islamic baker or a policeman, for example, you know, heading the Islamic government. It has to be someone, an expert in the field. Nothing against bakers or policemen, but just, yes. And then finally, must he be abided by or not? Well, of course he must be abided by, otherwise that will lead to anarchy. So here, this is the simple concept of wilayat faqih, that's it. We don't need to make a big thing out of it. And that was all via the aql. Now, traditions, we have plenty of traditions. Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, in his book, Wilayat faqih, has listed 20 sets of traditions. Where he speaks about the fuqaha, if they have this attribute, that attribute, and this attribute, they say, inni ja'altuhu hakima. I designate him as the hakim. We have many traditions like this. There's no question about this concept of wilayat faqih and the traditions. And then we come to the question of our usul al-deen. And many scholars say belief in the concept of wilayat faqih is a continuation of our belief in imamat. Now let me explain this. To explain this, I have to explain three terms: the Prophet, the Imam, and the Rasul. The Prophet, you all know, someone who receives revelation, and they go and guide people. Now, sometimes 10 prophets were sent for a tribe. Sometimes 70 prophets were sent for a tribe. Sometimes 2 prophets were sent for a family. You know, we had 124,000 prophets. We had many prophets at the same time sometimes. But that's it. There's no duty to exercise the Islamic Sharia for the Prophet. The duty to exercise the Islamic Sharia is a function of imamat. Whoever has been granted the status of imamat, it's his duty to exercise the Islamic Sharia. He may succeed, he may not, that's another matter. But it's a duty of the imam. Our 12 imams had this duty. That prophet which has been given the function of imamat is called the Rasul. Okay, so far so good. Now, after the shahadat of the Prophet of Islam, is that an end to exercising the Islamic Sharia, or do we have to continue? Our doctrine, we are of the belief that imamat is one of the usul of our madhab, our school of thought.